In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of the church today calls us to pause and to consider the mystery of God's presence among us. In the Blessed Sacrament, the Lord lives and dwells with his people. He is here. The Lord is here for us. He promised that he would not leave us orphaned. And one of the ways, the best of ways, in which he fulfills that promise is by his presence in the Holy Eucharist. See in his presence the clearest sign of his love for each one of us, of his love for you, and an adamant declaration of his desire to give mercy and that he seeks reconciliation with anyone who has turned away from him. As we see his presence to us, it begs a second question. As he desires to be with us, see in grace, do we desire to be with him? Are we desiring for the Lord to be a part of our lives? Are we drawing close to his presence in the Blessed Sacrament? I'm still sometimes dismayed that a little over half of our regular worshipers here at Our Lady of Grace do not come, not even once, have not come, to join us in nocturnal adoration. That's 1 hour of prayer a month. And you can pick any time from 8 p.m. until 10:30 a.m. in that whole nocturnal adoration. And it's still half choose not to come. When I look at our Monday evening adoration, or Tuesday and Wednesday afternoon adoration, and I know that we have a large retired population in our parish, I'm sometimes surprised that there are more people with the Lord. Wouldn't you just want to pop in for a couple minutes? You want to meet someone for lunch and maybe make a quick Eucharistic visit, say hello, let the Lord know that I love him, that I acknowledge his presence, maybe express a few intentions for him. For those who have the freedom to do that, and I know some of you are still in the workforce and you can't, you have other duties, you cannot, but for those who can, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you let that be a part of your regular weekly schedule? So do we desire to draw close to the Lord as he desires to draw close to us? You know, the apostles teach us, and the gospels are adamant, that the Lord gave us everything he had. Everything. There was nothing more the Lord could have given to us. That's how much he wants to be with us. To reconcile us to the Father, that we might dwell forever with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit forever in paradise. So we can ask the question, do I desire to be with him? Do I draw close to him in the Blessed Sacrament? And then by extension, as we leave this place of worship, do I carry the Lord with me? Do I let him walk with me? There are many Christians who pray in one world, but they live in another. That's called duplicity in the spiritual life. I think psychologists might have a different name for it, huh? But you can't be two different people. I pray here and I affirm things here and then I walk out there and I do something completely different. Duplicity was the sin of Judas. He said, Lord, I love you. Lord, I'll follow you. Lord, thank you for all your good things. And he betrayed him. There's a little bit of Judas in each of us, if we're honest. We have to catch that constantly and seek the help of God's grace. So as we leave this sacred place, are we seeking to accompany the Lord to be with him? Do we want the Lord to be a part of our lives? Can someone look at the way in which we live and say, that person's definitely a Christian? Look at that person. They pray in front of abortion facilities. They serve the poor. They give food to the hungry. They support unwed mothers. They go the extra mile in selfless service. They forgive those who have hurt them and their loved ones. Look at that. That person must be a Christian. Friends, we're fallen. We can't live the Christian way of life by our own devices. Left to our own devices, we will always choose not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but the other Trinity, me, myself, and I. Which means we have to die to ourselves, seek the help of God's grace. That's his life, his power within us. And by God's power, we can do what fallen human nature cannot. We can forgive our enemies. We can selflessly serve others. We can die to self-entitlement and bitterness. We can live the Christian way of life. But we have to let the Lord walk with us. We have to allow the Lord to give us his grace, his help. So as we leave this place in our discipleship, we can ask on this Corpus Christi, do we let the Lord walk with us? Let's just address some difficult issues that oftentimes can really be the rub in terms of whether we acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ and whether we're really letting the Lord walk with us. So I mentioned mercy. That's our number one thing as Christians. We are a merciful people. I just look at our world, it's getting darker and darker. You make one mistake and you're gone. They will crush you. Huh? We live in a culture of vengeance. We say cancel culture, that's just a nice way of saying vengeance. But we are a merciful people. We give 1,000 second chances because we have received 1,000 second chances. So first, we are a people of mercy. We do not have the right as Christians to hold a grudge. Do you realize, friends, that when you hold a grudge, you literally are praying condemnation upon yourself? Forgive us as we forgive. But the person who has a grudge isn't forgiving, which means they're asking God not to forgive them. Are we letting the Lord walk with us, and are we seeking to be a people of mercy? What about our sexual powers? We live in a culture of hedonism. If it gives you pleasure, it must be good. That's not true. Our sexual powers, we know, are within the order of love, not the order of pleasure. Not that we're opposed to pleasure, but we don't pursue it for its own good, for its own sake. We order our sexual powers, which means Jesus Christ should be Lord of your bedroom because he is the Lord of your heart. The way you plan your family, the way you exercise these sexual powers within your married life, the way the sexual powers are expressed in general. Is Jesus Christ the Lord? Do we allow the Lord to accompany us as we seek to live chastity according to our state in life? What about money? I suspect most people, and I'm quoting St. Paul here, most people go to hell because of money, because we're cheap, because money is a false god. St. Paul lists it when he describes the sins of idolatry. And the Lord tells us you cannot serve two masters. So we worship money. And every time the church talks about money, this is what we get. Oh my goodness, they're always talking about money. Yeah, it hurts, doesn't it? Huh? Should tell you something. When properly preached, when we talk about money, we're replacing it within discipleship because money, that false god, it wants your heart. It gives us false promises. Get money, you start thinking you have power, influence, control. You start staking your entire future on money. Wait a minute, who are you worshiping at this point? God or mammon? God or money? Which is why God has imposed upon his people a tithe. Yes, we Christians are crazy enough that we give the first 10% of everything we earn to God. In service to his people and in service to the poor, the sick, and the suffering. We got a lot of thieves among us. I'm quoting the prophets. You got a problem with that? Take it up with them. If you take the tithe, you are stealing from God. That doesn't belong to you. That is your testimony of trust in God and the declaration of your thanksgiving. I was only able to do this because of the strength you gave me, Lord, because of the talents you gave me, Lord. And we humble that inclination to idolatry and we demolish the false god of money. You know, it's interesting. We have a lot of wealthy people in our parish who are so cheap. So cheap. It's embarrassing. When I look at the tax returns, I'm like, I'm so embarrassed to sign this, right? Then we have families where both spouses work. Sometimes one spouse has two jobs. And they tithe. Selflessly. I am moved when I see that. And my own faith is inspired by their testimony and their witness to trust in God. One young family who do not have the money tell me they get together every month as a family. They sit, the little kids and all, and they sit and they say, okay, where's our tithe going to go this month? 5% always goes to the parish, support of the works of the parish. 5% can go to other charities you prefer. And they sit together and they talk about, where do we need to get this money? Oh, well, there was this hurricane. We should send some money here. Oh, we should give some money to, you know, the young moms down the street. We should, and they decide where that tithe's going to go, that 5%. And the parents laugh. They say, we don't have that money to give. But we have trust in God. And we're going to obey the tithe. And they say it's kind of fun because it puts money in its place because the family doesn't revolve around money. Because once you don't have it, you don't worry about it, right? So we trust in God enough, we're letting him walk with us when it comes to our money? What about our decisions? All the decisions we have to make, whether it's do I accept this job promotion, do I change jobs, do I move, do I relocate? Are we taking time to pause and pray and ask for divine wisdom? Sometimes what happens is we rely on our own strength. I can figure it out. I got this. We rely on our own strength, our own intellectual abilities, and so on. Well, they're all fallen, but we still think we can trust ourselves, right? There are some Christians who don't even pause. Stop. Just pray about it. Just take this before God and ask for his divine wisdom. One member of our parish, and I repeat this with permission, was offered a very prominent promotion in his place of employment. He thought it was great. This is going to be great. It's going to be more money. It's going to be more influence. It's going to be great. His wife said, let's pray about it. They prayed about it, and he was overwhelmingly convicted that he could not take the promotion. Because he realized if he had taken the promotion, he would become even more and more a stranger to his children. And his children were more important than any promotion or any money that this world can give us. You see, dear friends, sometimes we have to just stop and let the Lord walk with us to realize our lives are not our own. We have died so that we might live for Jesus Christ. And we surrender all things to his Lordship. And we trust him. We know how faithful he is because he seeks constantly to be with us. We can trust his divine providence. And let me just clarify when I start saying this. I'm not talking about a health and wealth gospel. Health and wealth gospel. Do what God says and everything's going to be great. You're going to get money and your health's going to be one. No, if you want that, just keep going down Highway 521. There are a couple of houses of worship that will give you that false gospel. Jesus Christ didn't preach that. No, what I'm saying to you is that the Lord's going to bless us, that he will be with us. Sometimes that blessing is redemptive suffering. Times are tough. Meals get simpler. Sometimes that blessing is greater virtue. Sometimes it's spiritual blessings. And yes, there are times when the Lord will bless us materially. But we can't do the things of God because we want the material blessing. And we can't tell God that somehow he has failed us because he didn't give us material blessings. He didn't promise that. The only thing he has promised us is that he will walk with us through the fallenness, through our sinfulness. When we have betrayed him, he will continue to walk with us. That's what he's promised us. And he said that he will walk with us all the way into eternity, and he will allow us to dwell with the Father forever. That's his promise. And as Christians, we have looked at the Lord Jesus and said, I know that you are with me. I know that you love me. I want to follow you. I will do whatever you ask because your love is immense. Your goodness is infinite. And I see in you the fulfillment of everything I could hope or want or desire. I sacrifice all things because you, Lord, you are my everything. That's Christian discipleship, dear friends. I know we've compromised it so bad and we've accommodated it so poorly that lukewarmness has now been perceived to be the norm. But it's not the norm, dear friends. Living the Christian way of life is radical. It's saying, I'm not going to pursue my wants, my desires, my preferences, my feelings. No. It's not about me anymore. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the extension of his kingdom. It's allowing his grace to convert my fallenness so I think rightly. So my feelings and emotions are ordered according to right reason. So I can pursue virtue and desire holiness. So as the Lord follows us, do we seek to follow him? As the Lord wants to be present to us, do we authentically desire in our lives to be present to him? Now, the great thing about it is as we draw closer to the Lord, we get closer to one another. Isn't that wonderful? I know sometimes it can be hard to dwell with other fallen human beings. But the Lord will send us to one another and give us a bond that the fallen world cannot break and cannot understand. God will actually begin to allow us to be the means by which he answers the prayers of others and takes care of others. Sometimes I hear these stories about material blessings. They happen. Just this past week, someone said to me, oh, Father, things were so hard and so on. I was just praying to God. I needed $260. I just need to bring all my bills together. I just really need that $260. I was praying to God. And the person said they checked their mail and there was a check for $260. That happens. But you know the part of the story that we don't ever talk about? Is the disciple that God asked to give that $260 and that disciple who said yes. Because in order for this disciple to receive that $260, this disciple had to say yes. You see how much the Lord will use us. He will prompt us, inspire us, do this, say this, don't say this, go there, don't go there. He will begin to coalesce us into the body of Christ. Think about this, Team Grace. How many times has God asked a disciple to do something for the care of another disciple, and that person says no? And so the other disciple is not cared for. Imagine if this disciple, God had prompted them and said, why don't you send that $260 to this other person? And they said, no, it's my money. Things are tough for my family. I got to watch out for myself. I worked hard for this money. No. And that means this disciple isn't cared for. I think we're all going to be shocked on the day of judgment when we get to see things as God sees them. And we begin to realize how much he did really want to help us more and care for us more. And he asked other members of our divine family to help us, and they said no. And we're going to realize that the care we didn't receive was not because God didn't answer, but because God asked one of his other children to be the instrument of his grace, his help, his consolation, and that person said no. Friends, whenever we hear in our heart, call this person, reach out to this person, email this person, send a thank you note to that person. That's not us. We're not that good. In our own fallenness, we just take care of ourselves. Whenever that's a prompting, that's the Holy Spirit. That means God wants some other work to be done for one of his other children, and he's asking us to be the instrument of that care. But we have to be willing to say yes. You know, the Desert Fathers and Mothers, those were our powerful mystics in the early church. I think one of our future series, we should just walk through their wisdom. It's beautiful and powerful and convicting. But the desert mystics, they taught us that the beginning of a day does not start when we see the daylight. It does not start when we see the daylight. The day begins when we see the face of another human being. Because when we see the face of another human being, we see God. You see, the more and more we come together, and the more we allow God to be with us and to accompany us, the more we begin to realize the image of God within each of us. And that leads us to greater kindness and respect, deference and compassion, to more generosity and charity. When we look at another human being and say, this is an image of God that is nowhere else. I only see this version of God in this person. And God is manifesting himself to me through this brother, through this sister. And of course, we get that understanding by drawing closer to God. Now, dear friends, there are more and more mysteries attached to Corpus Christi. But the two points I hope we take away is, first, are we drawing close to the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, in our lives? And are we seeking truly, authentically, we could be honest with ourselves, are we seeking to be present to him? Are we opening our hearts and our lives where he can be present to us and we can be present to him?